Don't, please.
I've got to, sweetheart. If I'm gonna explain in some way what happened to me. You see, after you'd gone, I started to waste away more and more. I became so thin I couldn't even earn a living with my body anymore. Not enough to keep alive. And even though I knew the end was near, there was still a part of me that wanted to keep alive. You know, that spark that won't let you give up, even when you feel like there's no hope. So there was nothing left for me there. You were gone, and I couldn't earn a living in any way. But there was a convoy coming through. A trader called Nyland. Evil, nasty piece of work, but with some surprising qualities. Can't remember ever seeing a woman trader before, especially one that was so small. She must have just been 5 feet if she was that. But I've never seen anyone, man or woman, who could take so much jolt or drink so much and still stay on her feet. And that was when her temper got really nasty. I once saw her take on a man twice her size and beat him in a fight by crushing his balls with her teeth while he had her upside down trying to break her back. He let her loose in sheer agony, and she chilled him by beating him with the table. And yet, she took pity on me. She found me when I was pretty desperate. I was willing to take on two of her crew for the price of one, because I hadn't eaten for days. But when I stripped naked, they laughed, and one of them wanted to satisfy himself by beating me first. Guess I must have screamed louder than I thought, because she found me. She had this number two called Dimitri, a fat guy with glasses who liked boys. He had a temper almost as bad as hers. The two of them ripped the shit out of these guys, chilled them. Only thing she moaned about was how the hell was she gonna find replacements at such short notice, and she argued with Dimitri that they should have just beaten them up a little. The argument got so hot, I thought they were gonna rip the shit out of each other next. Anyway, they noticed I was there eventually, and I guess she remembered why her guys were dead. She asked me why I was turning tricks when I looked so bad, and I told her. That's when she offered me the chance to join her convoy. With these guys chilled, she needed someone to act as quartermaster, to cook and clean. I figured she must be a little crazy. I was well on my way to buying the farm. But it was a better offer than anything else I'd had for a long time, so I went with it. Once I was in her convoy, I saw a few people like myself, the lame and the useless, and I figured that it was her hobby. But at least I didn't have to screw anyone for Jack anymore. And she was okay if you kept on the right side of her. She had a healer from the bayous by the name of Mama Celeste. She fussed over me for weeks on end, saying that I had something called tuberculosis something and a bad thyroid problem. She had a store of medicine she kept in an old footlocker, and she doctored me as if I were her own child. I got better. It wasn't rad sickness after all. I was gonna live. Mama Celeste was my savior, and I got strong really quickly. Although I never put much weight on again, and I look pretty different from when you knew me. My skin's still shitty and breaks out sometimes, and I look older than I am, but inside, I got a whole lot stronger. Stronger than I was before, and sure as hell a whole lot stronger than I look, which came in useful sometimes. I stayed with the convoy, and I started to do more, and we were good. We became the tightest little outfit working this side of the coast, and we were such a stoop-looking bunch that no one figured we'd ever be the trouble we could be. Nyland became the traitor that no one ever wanted to cross. Maybe even more so than the famous traitor.
Doubt that.
Anyway, this went on for some time. I didn't think much about my old life. Not because I'd forgotten you, son, but because I figured that wherever you were probably doing better there than you ever would with me. And that's okay. I just put it out of my mind whenever it came back to me. But then it started to change. The people you fought back there were from a ville called Broadmead, and they're not bad people. They were always fair to us when we traded with them, and we came back to them a few times. But when we were on our way back this time, I couldn't stop thinking about my son.
Sharona looked up into the night sky, finding it hard now to express what was inside her.
Dean, I always thought about you, and I used to dream about you all the time. I hadn't done that since the days when the sickness was really bad. I figured that maybe it was welling up again. But after a few nights, I knew it wasn't about that. I knew that the most stupid, impossible thing was happening. That somehow, in a way, I couldn't explain, even if I wanted to. I knew that Dean was coming near to me, and that if I followed my instincts, then I would find him.
Hot pipe, that's what it was!
What, Dean?
Since we did the last jump, I've had dreams about Rona. And all the while we were on Pilatu, I kind of envied Mildred that thing about family and belonging that she was getting. It was like there was something that I was missing, and it wasn't anything I'd thought about, but it was just there.
Right. I stayed behind the last time we hit Broadmead. I knew that I had to, that if I just waited long enough, you'd be brought to me. All I had to do was have patience and wait till it got really strong. And I could see you. I knew you were near. Then when the Sec Patrol got ambushed and they wanted a raiding party, I volunteered to go on it. They didn't want me, but they were always too scared of Nylan's crew to say no to us. And I guess you know the rest.
Sharona trailed off with a shrug. There was nothing more to say, but plenty for them to think about. The Pilatan caravan spent the next 2 days journeying across the plain until they came upon the remains of an old highway that stretched in a jagged and broken line away into the distance. The growth of vegetation around the highway was sparse, making their progress easier. There was no sign of any vills nearby, and after some consultation with the companions, who had traveled these kind of routes many times before, Sunita and Marcos decided to strike out ahead. They had put a considerable distance between themselves and the hostile vill. During the long trek, Sharona and Dean spent the time getting reacquainted with each other. The rest of the companions let them be. Christy couldn't shake the notion at the back of her mind that there was something amiss with Sharona. Was this some kind of jealousy on her part of Ryan's ex-lover? Was it because she had, almost without realizing, slipped into the role of being a surrogate mother to Dean when he needed it? She didn't know, and didn't feel inclined to delve too deeply. Dean was happy to catch his mother up on what he had been doing since she had last seen him, but when he talked of what they would be doing in the future, he noticed that she seemed uneasy and said things that suggested she wasn't comfortable with the idea of traveling with them. As they rested by the side of the blacktop in the late afternoon, Dean broached the matter with his customary lack of subtlety.
Rona, why don't you want to come with us? Are you going to sneak off and leave me again?
I never left you willingly. You know that. And I came looking for you, waited to find you. So it's not likely that I'm going to turn around and sneak off, as you put it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
I don't blame you, Dean. You were young, and you wanted to stay, and I wouldn't let you. And I'm not going to let you go this time.
Then why do you sound so distant when I start to talk about the others, and where we'll be going, or what we'll be doing next?
Because I don't know if it'll be the right thing for me to go with them, or you either.
At first, Dean could say nothing. He was too shocked by what Sharona had said. The companions were his life, and now that his mother was back, he wanted her to be part of that. This was what he had spent his time on Pilatu yearning for. Why didn't she want that? Sharona looked at him with a sad smile, as though she had read his mind.
They're your people, not mine. I don't know them, and I don't see how I can fit in.
But they're really good. Been really good to me, I mean. I know Doc's a bit crazy, but he's got courage. Jack takes a long time to know, but he's the best hunter you'll ever see, and an amazing fighter. I've learned so much from him. Mildred is great, and JB's so cool with all the shit he knows, and Christy has been like a mom to me, and then there's Dad.
Dean suddenly trailed off, as he began to see what Sharona meant.
Yeah, exactly. Your dad is really thrown by me turning up. I can tell because he said nothing to me about it since that night when I tried to explain it all. And Christy can't be too happy about me being here either. Can't say that I blame her. So it'll be hard for us all to get along. But why do we have to?
I don't follow.
Sharona grabbed him by the shoulders, and her deep-set eyes lit up.
Why don't we just go off by ourselves? Maybe we could try to find Nylan's convoy again, or find a ville where we could settle and make a life for ourselves, somewhere that we won't have to face shitloads of danger every day, where we can just live in peace and get back the time we've lost.
Why do we have to do that?
Because I don't want to share you with anyone. Why should I? I've lost so much time with you. I sent you away thinking I was about to die. I can't see myself sharing you and risking you every day in some insane search for what?
I don't know. I don't know if I can leave them all behind. Please don't make me.
I truly don't know if I can do that, Dean. But I'll think about it. It's all I can promise you.